Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. What's that first word? Behold. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, and the she there is Rahab, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. I'm going to stop there, and you may be seated tonight. I'm going to preach on this subject, hanging by a thread. Hanging by a thread. We know this story, and they sing about it tonight. And I don't want to bore you with backgrounds and details, but I'm finding out every church I go into, a lot of people don't know about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. A lot of people don't know about Jonah in the well. So let me just quickly just bring you up to where we're at today. Of course, we know Joshua sent out spies at the beginning of the chapter. And he told them that there was a woman there, a harlot, it specifies in verse 1. And her name was Rahab. And she was ordained by God to hide these spies in her house. And when they got there, you'll find that in verse 10, the Bible says that she knew who they were because she said, "I have heard of what your God has done." Ain't it amazing when your testimony precedes you? Ain't it amazing whenever you meet someone and you heard about what God has done for them, you can say, "Oh, I know who you are. I've heard all about you. I've heard about what God has done for you." I like to live a life like that when people see me. "Oh, I've heard of you," not in a bad way, but "I've heard of what God has done for you." And she knew who these men were because of their testimony. And they gave her a prophecy. They told her that the walls of Jericho were about ready to fall. Now you have to understand, this is where she lived. This is where she made her living. Jericho was her life. Jericho was where her family was at. So to speak, we can say that her world was about ready to crumble. Her world was about ready to fall down. And they said, "The only way you're going to be able to be safe is to bind this scarlet cord in the window." And listen tonight, and I know you know where I'm going, but let me just tell you this right now. Our world's about ready to crumble. And if your world is crumbling down tonight all around you, if things are happening, you woke up one day and didn't expect your life to be like the way it is, if your marriage is on the rocks, if your children are going astray, if your church is crumbling, listen, there's only one thing that's going to help us, and it's still the scarlet cord. It's still the precious blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The scarlet cord represents the precious blood. The blood just didn't start in Joshua chapter 2. You find it all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, when the Bible says that Adam and Eve have sinned and they needed to cover their sin and nakedness. And the Bible says that God made coats of skin and covered their nakedness. In order for there to be coats of skin, that means there had to be blood shed in order for there to be a covering. Oh, thank God we can go down to Leviticus when the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make a sacrifice for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We find it in the Passover. As God said, "I want you to take the blood of the Lamb. Take that lamb into your house. It becomes your lamb, your personal lamb. But I want you to shed its blood, a perfect, spotless lamb. And I want you to apply it to the door. And I want you to apply it to the top and the side post and in the threshold. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." As long as they were behind the blood, they were safe from death. And thank God it still holds true for us today. I can preach up here all night long about the verses about the blood, but let me fast forward to the book of Revelation when it tells us we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I'm still a bloody preacher, and I hope you understand tonight that that's the only thing that we're going to get to heaven is through and by the blood. when our world is crashing down, there's something we can hold on to. Thank God it's the precious blood. I want you to notice, first of all, in this passage, the preaching of the blood. The preaching of the blood. The very first word in our text tonight in verse 18 talks about preaching. It says, behold. Behold, they were trying to get them to pay attention. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. It means to pay attention. They were getting her attention. Said, behold, listen, you have to understand, behold. You have to understand something's about ready to happen and you need to follow these explicit instructions. Behold, behold, pay attention. And we need some good old fashioned behold preaching in the day in which we live. And I don't want to get on anybody's toes, but I really don't care at this point. I'm getting sick and tired of churches removing pulpits and replacing them with tables and stools. You may do it a different way in your church, but listen, I still believe a man of God should stand behind the sacred desk and get a Bible in his hand, a good King James Bible, and get it in your hand and preach what thus saith the Lord. We need preachers that'll stop bowing down to what the board says and what the church says, but start standing up to what the Word of God says. Hey, listen, preacher, you have nothing to back down on when you're preaching the truth and preaching the Word. I know people don't like it, but tough, they'll get over it and they'll love you for it one day, because when their kids are saved and on their way to heaven, they'll appreciate good old-fashioned behold kind of preaching. We just got around to not preaching that way anymore. We don't preach hard anymore. We make people feel good about going to hell. We like to tell them a good story. We like to just keep them about 10 minutes and say, there you go, on your way, about once a week. But that's not what Jesus wants, and that's not what God wants. He wants a man of God to stand behind the pulpit and just preach and tell people, behold, 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 pay attention. God's got some good news for you. Behold. All the way back in the book of Genesis, God preached, behold. There was only two people in this world and God still had to tell them to pay attention. Two people in the world, God still said, pay attention. There's one tree you can't partake of. They had everything they wanted, but what they desired is what they couldn't have. That's a whole other message. But all through the scripture, every prophet preached, behold. Nathan, when he came to David, said, behold, thou art the man. Ezekiel preached, behold. Jeremiah said, behold. Isaiah, behold, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. And go in the New Testament when John was baptizing, thank God, in the Jordan River, Jesus came walking on the seashore, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. We still need behold kind of preaching. Preaching about the blood. These two men not only came as spies, but they came as preachers. They came preaching about the blood. They came first of all with a warning, and they came with a witness. I don't think it's any coincidence that there was two spies, two being the number of witness. And listen, if you're going to preach about the blood, if you're going to preach behold kind of preaching, you got to have the witness of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because we need to have hard preaching, but we can't have harsh preaching. There's a big difference. When I stand behind the desk and whenever I preach about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost of God, there's certain messages and subjects that we preach, including the blood, the resurrection, the virgin birth, the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior. When I preach about those things, God puts a special unction of the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And listen, I feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof when I preach messages like that, when the Holy Ghost is on you. But listen, a lot of times, preachers, beware, beware, beware. If you do it in the flesh, you'll do more harm than good. But when you preach hard and have the Holy Ghost on you, more power to you. Because the Lord will do His work. We can be guilty of saying the right thing the wrong way, because the Spirit is not in it. May we be filled with the unction of the Holy Ghost, and may we preach about the blood, the preaching of the blood. Notice, secondly, the power of the blood. The power of the blood is found in one word in two verses of Scripture. They said, bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. And then in verse 21 it says, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. That word bind and bound is the same word in the Hebrew. And that's where the power of the blood comes. We have to understand what the word bind means. And we think we know, and I thought I knew too, till I started searching out a little longer. Binder and bind and bound is a legal term. And a binder is a legal agreement by two parties that come together and meet on certain things and subjects, and they sign off on that agreement. Everyone that has ever mortgaged a house, can you raise your hand? Okay. I have too. We signed a binder. There's a binding agreement. There's a greater party and a lesser party. You may think you're the greater party, but you're not. You're the lesser party. And so I love it when young couples go to the bank and they get their first mortgage and they post pictures on social media. They hold the keys and they say, we are first-time homeowners. I'm sorry. You do not own that home at all. I don't mean to bust your bubble. I thought I did, but you're not homeowners. The bank owns the home. You're just paying them. And see, a binder says that if one, the lesser party, cannot meet their agreement, then the greater party takes over. You say, well, how does that work? Well, if you want to try it, just stop making house payments. I don't suggest you do that. But if you do, then the greater party takes over. And when Rahab bound that scarlet cord in that window, she was coming into a binding agreement with God the Father. She was the lesser party. And even though she couldn't hold up to her agreement, thank God the greater party took over on her behalf. And what was the greater party? The greater party was the Word of God. They said, listen, we're swearing by the Word of God. And she says, I'll do this, but I'm doing it on your Word. They had the Word of God backing them. And so she bound that scarlet thread in that window as a sign and a symbol. I am standing firm on the Word of God and on the Word of their testimony. And I know that God is going to take care of me. Listen, when are we going to understand? We had nothing to bring God. But thank God when we came to Him and brought our righteousness, which is just filthy rags in His sight, and brought Him our soul and brought Him our body and said, Lord, would You save me? Aren't You glad that the greater party took over when we couldn't do anything for ourselves? Thank God the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus took over. Hallelujah. That's the power. That's the power of the blood, and I'm saved by nothing I've done, but I'm saved by everything that He's done. You'll find in the book of Hebrews, it's a beautiful illustration of what God did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it says that because of what He did on the cross, because He put Himself on the cross, God looked and saw His Son. And because His Son died, then the sons of God and the Son of God became brethren. I've called God and Jesus, really, I've called Jesus a lot of things. I've called Him Lord. I've called Him Master. I've called Him Savior, Redeemer, Healer. But I don't know that I ever remember calling Him brother. But Hebrews says, because Jesus died on the cross, thank God, we're now brethren to the Son of God. We're part of the family. Aren't you thankful for that blood? The power of the blood, the wonderful preaching of the blood. And then finally, I want you to notice the the people of the blood. The people of the blood is found in verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. The people of the blood is found in one big long word there, whosoever. Now, I know this is kind of, it's confusing in the way it reads here. But let me just break it down like this. Anybody that wanted in the house can get in the house. They said, hey, first of all, get your family in. Make sure your family's in. Make sure they're behind the blood. But anyone that wants to get in can get in. So call your friends, call your neighbors, come and tell them if there's room in this house, just come in and be safe as long as you're behind the blood. Whosoever can come in and be safe from destruction and death. Oh, aren't you thankful for that big word, whosoever? Because that means you and that means me. We didn't deserve the blood. We were just worthless dogs called Gentiles. But thank God, because the Jews rejected him, thank God the door was open to the Gentile. And thank God, I'm thankful John 3:16 still in the word, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm thankful I'm a whosoever. Whosoever wanted in could get in, but whosoever wanted out could get out. That's what it said. It said, whosoever shall go out of the doors into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. As long as they were in the house, as long as they were behind the scarlet cord, they were safe. But they had the free will to choose whether to leave the house or not. Don't believe this religion coming down the pike that says everything's already been chosen and you have no choice. It's baloney. It's a lie of the pit of hell. God is an omnipotent God and He knows all. But if He would have chosen just a certain elect group of people, then why did He go to the cross? Why do we even go to church? If it's already been decided, why even have a meeting? Because it hasn't been decided. He knows who will serve Him. He knows who will be in heaven. But listen, you have the choice whether to be there or not. And I'm thankful we have that choice. Because I choose Him, that means I love Him. If there was no choice, that means there's no love. But thank God, I am thankful that I love Him. But most of all, I'm thankful that while I was yet a sinner, He first loved me and shed His blood for me. And I'm thankful that as a 5-year-old boy, I was a whosoever that got in the door, that got in the house, and thank God I'm safe behind the blood. Hallelujah, it's good preaching. I, of course, I'm from Southern Ohio, and I'm not going to tell no coon dog stories tonight. But as a kid growing up, we didn't have Walmart wasn't around yet. And we had a lot of mom and pop grocery stores. And there was one grocery store in a little town called Wheelersburg, Ohio. Anybody know where Wheelersburg is? Okay, a lot of people do. Wheelersburg, Ohio. Still there today. It's a great little store, great family that runs it. It's called Deemer's Market. And my family would stop there as when I was a child. And I know this may surprise you, but it don't take much to just make me go. I know it surprises a lot of you. But I'm just thrilled. I'm amazed at things and how things work. Technology, computers, I'm amazed at that stuff. And I try to dabble in all that, and it gets overwhelming sometimes. Really scary, actually, what people know about you. and what I can find out about you in about 2 minutes. Anyway, I'm amazed. Technology. Now, at that time, and they still do actually, I was amazed because they had automatic doors. Now they say, well, that's funny. Well, back then, automatic doors weren't around everywhere, but they did. And they had a mat. An automatic mat. And when you stepped on the mat, the doors, they had two of them, one that went in and one that went out. Make sure you step on the right mat. If not, boom, you know, you hit. But, so I was amazed at that. I was amazed that, you know, I'm a little kid, and I'm not very big, but I can just put my foot on it, and the door would open, and I could walk right in. I was amazed at that. So you know what I do? I just stand back. And, of course, it gets old after a while, and Dad gets aggravated and says, come on. But yet, I would, Brother Gray, I would still be amazed at that. And I would go, and we'd be shopping around, and I could still peek out and see that door. And you know what I found really interesting? I seen kids, teenagers, when they stepped on that mat, that door opened wide. I seen grandmas, 85, 90 years old, when they stepped on the mat, the door opened. I seen doctors that were rich, driving fancy cars, step on the mat, and the door opened. I seen homeless people that smelt bad, probably been drinking, step on the mat, and the door would open. You know why? Because it was a whosoever door. I'll be 40 years old in September. All I've ever known is church. I don't apologize for that. I don't say that like it was punishment. I enjoy this life. Cal Ray says our lives are like roller coasters. It's a lot funner when you put your hands up. And Steve, I noticed something over the years. I've been in a lot of church services, thousands probably by now. And I've seen teenagers come down an altar and bow and give their heart to Jesus. And the door was open for them. I've seen 80-year-olds and 85-year-olds come down to an altar of prayer and give their heart to Jesus. And the door was open. I've seen doctors, lawyers, drive fancy cars, walk down to an altar of prayer, and the door was open. I've seen homeless men and women, drug addicts, alcoholics, didn't smell real good, looked horrible. But yet, when they came to an altar of prayer, the door was open. You know why? Because the altar, the door of heaven, is a whosoever door. And all you got to do is come. Because he said, whosoever name is not found in the Lamb's book of life, that you'll be cast into the lake of fire with Satan. That's not intended for you. But if you don't want salvation, he won't give it to you. It's whosoever that way too. But I'm thankful that no matter what you've done and where you've been, we had one young man, he's back tonight, gloriously saved last night. The change that took place in his life. And I'm sure, because the Lord laid this message on my heart for tonight, I know there are people here that you need to understand the blood was shed just for you.